This week, we're sharing stories from the Battle of Attu and the Greater Aleutian Campaign of World War II. The conflict ended in the 1940s, but its legacy is still very much alive, both for the veterans who served and the Yunnan people who were forced to leave during the fighting. Even now, many vets have never spoken to an evacuee, and vice versa. So, to commemorate what happened 75 years ago, KUCB invited people on both sides to sit down and reflect together. Today, we hear from Army veteran Paul Shaughnessy, who spent parts of World War II on ADAC, and Martin Oury, who was sent to Seattle after the bombing of Dutch Harbor. A note to listeners, one of the people in this story uses a word that is offensive for Japanese people.
I was 4.5 years old when they bombed Dutch Harbor. We were here when they bombed it. And,
remember that?
I remember it. Yeah. And I remember planes going over and the place is rocking and guns going off. And my brother ran outside, the older brother, he's 2 years older than I am, and came back in and said, told Mom, you know, Mommy, I see an airplane go over. I could see the man in it, you know.
Did he tell you it was Japanese?
He said it was Jap. My mother was notified to get one suitcase, packed, and she had 25 to 30 minutes to be on board the ship that was in the harbor. The ship turned out to be a troop transport, President Fillmore. And we got on board her, and we ended up in Seattle.
We were
the lucky ones.
Yeah, I've heard since I've been here, this is for the veterans and the evacuees.
Right.
It's commemorating both of those. And you were technically an evacuee, but you went to Seattle.
The troop transport, I guess. That's where she was going, so that's where they took us. Luckily, we had relatives in Kent, Washington, which is just south of Seattle a little bit. And so we went to Kent for a year or so. And
you really get it kind of lucky that you had a place to go there.
Eventually, my father was still up here.
Yeah.
He got a hold of one of my uncles down there, an old Norwegian, Sverre was his name, and told him to find a house for us. And so Sverre found us a house by Green Lake in Seattle. And then my father paid him back for it when he finally came down after they got things going.
I got in the Army late and got up here in January 44 to ADAC. And my wife, she's an Aleutian veteran.
Mm.
I lost nothing by signing on for a year. That way, the regulation said you can't take your dependents with you unless you have a year of service or more. Well, bingo, I signed. I got a year so I could get my dependents. So my wife of 7 days and the rest is absentee 2 years. So I got her up and we lived in a Quonset hut on ADAC and had the kitchen and the bathroom and 2 bedrooms and then a big...
That was a big Quonset hut.
It was a regular one. And they were nice and tight and insulated and so forth. We had a year here. And people say, well, how can you marry 73 years? How do you credit the longevity of your marriage? And I've been thinking about it. That year on ADAC was the first year. She couldn't pick up the phone and say, Mother, do you know what he said to me today? We had to work them out, and we did.
Yeah. I fished out of ADAC.
You did?
Yeah, king crabbed out of ADAC.
And that reminds me of a story. We had these guys go out, not only hunting crab at the right time, but they had geese. And then we'd have a nice eat, different than Army food, you know? Well, we hadn't had any, like, Alaskan Department inspection. And so we did have a guy from the headquarters, you know, this inspection team's coming out. And they're giving us the inspection. And the guys had been out on hunting and had geese, you know. And we had Captain Buck Slaughter from Virginia. and the colonel.
Is that a real name now?
Yeah.
Kind of like Daniel Boone, huh?
No. It's Buck Slaughter. That was it. So the inspector goes to the mess hall, opens up the refrigerator, and there are these geese all hanging there. And he says, "Captain, don't you know that's against the regulations of the Alaskan Department to be hunting out here?" And Buck Slaughter, fast thinking, he says, "Well, sir, Colonel," he says, "you know, we got these willy-waws out here. And these geese were flying by, and that willy-waw hit them and bashed them up against the mess hall. And my good mess sergeant here, he grabbed them and had some of his men dress them and put them in the refrigerator." That colonel shook his head, slowly closed the door, and I'm sure he said, "Anybody that comes up with a story that fast, it deserves not to be gigged forever." So that was the last time we heard about the geese in the refrigerator.
Those imperial geese, those come from Japan, so you were shooting Japanese geese.
Oh, good for us.
Yeah, really. No, I shot a bunch of them and took them home. We dressed them and took them home. I put them in the blast freezer, you know, and took them home, and I couldn't give them away. They were so dry.
Oh, well.
Fishy taste. So we've got some very common interests, you know. I didn't know it till, you know, now we're talking about war and so on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've had a lot of, you know, a lot of things in life I really treasure, you might say, you know. Yeah. And I'm sure you have, Paul, too. So.
Oh, I've had.
This is one of them here right now, that's right, you know, talking
right,
with him.
Right.
This story was produced by KUCB's Zoe Sobel and Laura Craigle. Join us tomorrow for our final conversation between two descendants of veterans and evacuees. You can also find all our coverage at KUCB.org.